Welcome to Hey That's Me, a commentary podcast. I'm Patrick Hotner.
I am Brian Lynch. Patrick, what the f*** is this podcast about?
That's honestly a great question, and I ask myself that every single day. Brian, you're a screenwriter. I'm a producer and casting director, and we do a podcast where we watch movies and TV shows and do audio commentaries on them with people who worked on them who never got to do audio commentaries.
That we're providing a service.
We are. Clear your throat, Brian. Today, we're watching Season 2, Episode 8 of Parks and Recreation, Ron and Tammy, with writer Mike Scully.
It's such a good episode. I love Parks and Rec, and this is maybe one of the best episodes.
Yeah, this is a really good one. So many funny things come from this episode, and it's an early one, Season 2. It's before the big switch in
yes.
Parks and Rec, and it's one of the highlights of the show pre-Ben and Chris. Megan Mullally's first appearance on the show. She's insane in it.
You see Ron in a new way,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. He's very funny. When he shows up in that red shirt, he's very funny.
Oh my God. It's great.
Anyways, it's on Peacock right now. It's also on a bunch of physical media. You can go pick it up any way that you want. If you go watch it on Peacock, depending on your tier, there may be ads, but hopefully not.
Right. We did commentary for the ads as well, though.
We did not.
Oh.
We did not. So go check it out. You can sync it up, or you could just listen to this like a podcast. Mike's great. A long time Simpsons writer and showrunner, worked on Duncanville, created Duncanville with his wife. So many things. Everybody Loves Raymond, the Napoleon Dynamite animated show.
I like that show.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like the animation style too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Also from The Town Over from me.
The Napoleon Dynamite animated show was A Town Over from
no,
you?
No, Mike Scully was born less than 15 minutes.
Well,
from
we
my
haven't
house.
Recorded them yet. Are you just going to talk about that nonstop? That's
sure
21
gonna,
minutes of
I'm
you guys
sure
talking about
we're
Your Town.
Going to.
Oh boy.
Go check it out. Pull it up. And we're going to start in
3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Here we are. We're watching Parks and Rec. Ron and Tammy. Mike Scully's here. Mike, how are you?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Good.
That was the Pasadena City Hall, I think, was the exterior.
Yes.
Yeah.
where did they shoot this? What studio was this at?
This is at CBS Radford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then that's comedian Jack Carter.
Wow.
Playing,
wow.
Old Gus, uh-huh. The shoeshine guy.
He does not like being called Old Gus.
Yeah.
How did you get brought into this show? Were you on in Season 1?
Yes, but I wasn't there right when they started. I got a call from Greg Daniels, who I'd worked with on Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, they shot the show. There was no pilot done. Because Amy was pregnant at the time they would have been shooting. So they went right into a 6-episode order.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So they were still kind of figuring things out on the fly doing it. So Greg had brought me in to help out on the first 6. So mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. It was, I really enjoyed, I mean, this is what, I think any writer would tell you the same thing. This is one of the most pleasant job experiences is working on Parks.
Yeah,
it's great.
Like some shows like, you either like, especially on set, you get nervous about being sent down to set. Like, oh, shit, what hell awaits?
Sure.
but this is not that. It was just a delightful in the writer's room and on set.
I mean, it feels like they're all still friends and everyone still talks and hangs out with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is usually a good sign for like if they like each other, usually.
Yeah. No, they absolutely do. They're all in touch with each other. I've kept in touch with most of them. It, mm-hmm. it really was like a great, hey, that's me. I did that. yeah, I mean, Amy just sets a great tone on set.
Yeah.
And, nobody was working longer hours than her. And she, had a small child at mm-hmm. the time. So, everybody just well-behaved and a lot of fun and enjoyed every minute of it.
Now, is this a story that you pitched this story or you all broke it in the room and then you went off and did it? How did their writer's room work?
I think this is Ron and Tammy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I pitched some things about going into Ron's marriage and divorce. Mm-hmm. I don't think we had the full story at all. I don't think I had. I think once we got, hey, that's me again.
Good at this.
Once we just kind of had the area, then I think we fleshed out a whole story uh-huh. together as a group. Particularly in the, this is season 2.
This is yep. early 2. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, we were still, the show was kind of in a little bit of a transitional period from season one. And, you know, we felt like we were getting a better handle on the characters and the dynamics of the show. We were still figuring out what some people's jobs actually were.
Sure.
I think we did the whole series never being 100% sure what Aziz's job was. and Pratt, because he wound up being so funny, the reason in that opening scene, he's now the shoeshine guy, that was done to get him more into the action of the show.
You want to keep him around.
Right, because originally he was, in season one, he was kind of just a device to get Amy and Rashida's characters to meet each other and become friends.
Sure.
It wasn't planned for him to stick around on the show. But then, you know, just in working with them, you always discover things about the actors as you're working with them that you didn't expect. And he was so funny. We're like, all right, we wanted to keep him on. And how do we get him closer to the action?
Yeah. Do you think he was the biggest surprise of the cast for you guys? On like, this isn't what we expected him to be, or
this? You know, it's funny going back and watching it about a week ago. This cast was just across the board. It was just,
we were saying that this morning. We're like, there's
so
no weak link.
Good. No, yeah. It's like, you know, Pratt was a surprise. Nick Offerman was a surprise. Yeah. Aubrey's a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for when you're doing a show is how do you, you know, having characters where you know you can go to anybody for a laugh in the scene. And that's what we, you know, fell into on this show.
And also, like, so many of the supporting characters hit so hard. Like, yeah, characters,
right.
Like, not Jerry or Donna or anybody, but, like, you know, the animal control guys. Yeah, like, the guys who just keep showing up, you're like, yeah, they are so funny. Like, every single person has their thing. There was a, I think it's on IMDb, you can look at people's breakdowns by how much they're in the show.
Oh, wow.
And you're like, oh, this person was only in the show for, like, 3 minutes if you add it up. But you're like, they're so funny for those 3 minutes that you think they're around so much more.
Yeah.
Did you see all the books behind her and that she has, like, all anti-male stuff? And,
oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't even notice that. We had the crew was incredible. They would come. They did such detail work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on every aspect of the show, they really came up with amazing stuff. I think it was Mike Schur's idea that the library was like the enemy for the Parks Department. Because I remember him talking about like what would be, you know, like a funny department for her to, for Amy, like for Leslie to really hate on the show. We loved the idea of the library being a mortal enemy.
And
Nick Offerman married to Megan Mullally.
Yeah.
So they were so much fun to have together in an episode. But in the scenes too, like with Amy and Megan, I've always been a fan of Megan's, but there's some great deleted scenes of Amy and Megan, because we would always do like two or three takes as scripted, and then the last take would just be what they call the fun run.
Yeah.
And boy, I mean, there was one scene of the two of them outside an elevator together in the episode where they just kept riffing for about like 7 or 8 minutes.
That's great. Yeah.
And you know, like, we're not going to get to use any of it. But it was so funny.
Are you a guy who likes people to stick to the script, or are you cool with improv? Or does it depend on the show, I guess?
A couple rules. Yeah, it depends on the show. But basically, if you're performing it like at a table read and the network's there, and particularly on a pilot, you know, like, but normally when the network's there, don't go off script. Okay. Don't ad lib, you know, because it may throw off one of the other actors, and particularly on a pilot, you know,
you don't know each other, and
they don't know each other, and it can throw off the actor who has to respond to the line that they were not expecting.
Yeah,
and it was at a table read once where there was a lot of that, and it really just, you just kind of left at the end. Did the show not work, or was it just all that ad-libbing throwing people off? So I love it on set. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know, like, we would go down to the set, whoever had, you know, wrote the episode was usually the on-set writer. And as long as you knew you had gotten a few takes as scripted, that's when you want to, like, take advantage of this great cast and give them a chance to come up with some stuff. And or sometimes you can just feel something not working in a scene.
Sure.
And that's when it's fun to go in and try to fix it. But you want to, you know, bring it back to the showrunner knowing So they're going into editing knowing they have the as scripted version if you want to stick to that.
Yeah.
And then give them some great choices on top of it.
Was Megan, I assume, was always the idea to bring Megan in as the wife? Or was that something where it was like, oh, you guys are married, this is very convenient?
Yeah. I think it was, we had the idea for the story first, and I don't know who brought her name up.
Mm-hmm.
Or if casting maybe mentioned, you know, Megan is Nick's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you don't want to, like, put Nick in an awkward spot. Like,
sure.
Hey, could you ask your wife?
Right, sure, sure, sure.
But they were so much fun together. We got, you know, just all this, like, bonus, you know, fun of the two of them just playing as two people who just despise each other.
Yeah.
Like this scene here, I remember the day we were on location in Glendale,
mm-hmm.
I believe, at this little diner. And a lot of this, you know, was that actually made it into the show was them ad-libbing.
Yeah.
You know, we had, you know, like kind of the basic hatred of the scene and him telling her she's aged horribly and stuff like that. But boy, they just went for it. They're so game.
This is that diner. I don't know if you guys have seen Review, the Andy Daly show.
Sure.
But the pancakes episode where he has to go eat it's this diner.
Wow.
Yeah. We were watching it yesterday and we were like, oh my God, it's the Review diner.
Yeah, so like they just so went for it in these scenes. They were really having a ball.
Well, they've got the comfortability of like,
right,
you know,
a shorthand.
Yeah,
I think Megan had her bra out the window. Like, you know, a lot of this is not scripted.
Yeah. That's so funny. Was the writer's room on the same lot as the set?
Yeah, we were upstairs.
Okay,
so you could come down and. It was always fun to watch them work.
Yeah.
What are the positives of working on an ensemble this big, and what are the negatives? Like, is it harder?
You know, it's. I love Nick's dance, but the positive is like I said, they were all so good. We were still discovering,
right,
like strengths that, you know, we didn't even know they had. So. Or if you're changing something on the floor, like, you know, while you're shooting and someone else is in the scene, you have other choices to go to if something's not working. And the cast was like, they would pitch lines for each other.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's not
which
the case
is, No.
Yeah, it's nice when you're like, I want you to get this laugh because this
wonderful.
Laugh makes more sense for you. Yeah.
You know, I was on a show once where the star of the show was kind of trying to give a note like, is it weird I'm not in this scene? Well,
no,
it
no,
wasn't,
it's not.
But yeah. I got a feeling it's going to get weird.
Who has been the easiest for you to write for out of your entire career? Is there an actor or a character that you were like, I click in with that immediately?
I
know,
well,
it's a big question.
Yeah, it's... I have a soft spot for dumb characters. Uh-huh. I consider myself very good at writing Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
And then so when I got to Parks, it was like Pratt, you know, writing for Andy Dwyer.
Which
I can do that. Or on Raymond, writing for Ray.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Listen to the three shows he just said.
I know.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Wow,
that's
what a resume.
So if you got a dumb character in your show, I'm your guy. Yeah, but I think it's when I used to do stand-up when I first moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was not good at was I didn't have a voice on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an on-stage character.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it. And one of the comics, you know, was talking to me about it, and I didn't get it at first, but then you start to watch them with that in mind and you realize, oh yeah, that's true. They can separate a great joke from a great joke for them.
Oh, that's right.
And they can walk away from a great joke knowing it's just not going to sound right coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And so what was a weakness for me as a comic was a plus as a writer, because my jokes were just kind of scattershot from like on all sorts of topics and
mm-hmm.
different tones. So when you go to write for a show, you suddenly have to forget your voice and you're writing for these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it worked out much better for me as a writer than a performer.
What was the moment when you were like, maybe not stand up, maybe writing?
Oh God, there were so many that were, you know, that were pointing in that direction. It just took me a while to get the hint.
I guess it's not always up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there a moment though where you were like, "I'm just going to be a writer," or did it kind of just slowly drift towards that? You were doing both.
No, I had stopped performing.
Oh,
by
you just,
the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always trying to be a writer, and what I did learn from performing was how to streamline jokes mm-hmm. into, like, because what looks like a joke on a piece of paper and it doesn't look long, if you get up in front of a crowd and say it, it can be like fucking interminable.
Endless.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I learned very quickly how to get rid of the unnecessary words. And even the unnecessary syllables in a joke to get to the point faster. Yeah. There was a night in particular at the Improv. It was open mic night. And I had done a lot of nights where you go on at like, you know, 1:32 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell, like, do I suck at this?
Or is everyone sleeping in drunk?
Just that there's like five drunk people here. Right. And I begged the MC one week, like, could you please just put me on when there's people in the room?
Yeah.
And let me, I'm trying to make a life decision here.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So he's, you know, said like, all right, I'll get you on like 10 o'clock. And I said, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my name on the sheet. I knew who the comic was right before me. And it was, you know, all like open mic night people. So when it came to that, so it was a great crowd. It was like around 10 o'clock and the performer who was supposed to be before me was on. He finished his set.
Did he have a good set?
He had a good set. Not great.
Okay.
But, you know,
okay.
You don't want everybody to, you know, want to follow great.
Sure.
So the MC goes up and he starts saying, all right, coming up next, we have a real treat for you. And I was like, oh, shit, he's overselling me a little bit, but all right, you know. And suddenly he goes, Robin Williams.
Oh, no.
And
oh my God.
Robin had come into the club. I didn't know it. And when
you're not going up that night,
the place goes insane.
Yeah.
You know, he does 45 minutes, absolute brilliance. When he leaves, the crowd is like, you know, just wild, you know, and then the MC comes up and does, I thought, you know, all right, well, he'll do like 5 minutes just kind of like calm the place down a little bit. He just gets up there and goes, and next, Mike Scully. So I'm on stage and all you could hear is people were either still talking about Robin.
Oh my God.
Or they were like paying up their bills.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of, or car keys jingling. Uh-huh. Wooden chairs on a wooden floor being, you know, squeaking. So that night going home, there was kind of like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So that was like a big turning point for me.
Let's just see how Robin Williams would do at 2 a.m. though. Probably not as good.
Yeah.
When you're breaking this story for this episode, are you doing it in the writer's room or are you going off writing the script and then coming back and other people are taking a look at it? Or how would that work? For this,
you try to, you know, once you have kind of the basic idea, the outline of the story,
mm-hmm.
you go off and do like a full blown like outline.
Yeah.
But then you show it to the staff and Mike Scher and you go through it. Everybody gives notes and thoughts of like, you know, adding jokes mm-hmm. to scenes or what scenes you need and what scenes you don't need. And then you go off and write a draft and you come back a week later with the draft. And then again, the whole group gets together. So, I mean, every episode is like, by the time it's done is such a collaborative effort. And, you know, you take, it's crazy if you don't, you're in this room with all these really funny people. So it's insane to not squeeze everything out that you can. And then, you know, when it's their, one of their episodes, you give as much as you would give on your own script. So, and then the cast just adds, you know, tremendous.
Do you agree with Donna that Andy is the better choice over Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Mark character was the one character we had, and it wasn't the actor's fault at all.
Yeah.
He was a very nice guy, but the character just kind of wasn't working mm-hmm. for. I mean, he was supposed to be kind of a womanizer, and I'm not sure the actor Paul Schneider was super comfortable playing that. But the trickier part was, I, as a viewer, like as a fan of the show, and I came in like they had shot maybe two episodes, mm-hmm. maybe three. I didn't like watching Leslie chase this guy who is like a womanizer and stuff. That's where like the actor and the character kind of cross over, because it's Leslie Knope, but it's also Amy Poehler.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
You don't want to see Amy Poehler
yeah.
throwing herself at this guy who doesn't, seem to really care for her or anything. So by this point, I guess we were in the stage where there was like Andy was still chasing Rashida's character, but they were over with.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark was, there was a lot of relationship
drama
going
yeah.
on
yeah.
in the show. Yeah. I'm trying to think, because like, that was the other thing, like watching, this one, I had forgotten how quickly we were out of the Andy, was it Ann and Andy?
Right.
Yeah, that's like mostly season one.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's crazy how natural April and Andy is. Like it was right there the whole time. Like,
yeah.
They're so good together.
And I think Mike sure came up with that, but it just felt like these two could really work together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And it's a show that you like care about all of the characters, and they feel like real people, quote unquote, like you feel the their whole lives while watching them.
Yeah.
People like them, even if they are heightened, I don't want to say cartoony, but like heightened versions of actual people,
Oh yeah. And part of the fun too, for me was it was not a mean-spirited show. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a show that just after watching it, you just kind of felt good that you're spending time with these people, regardless of if an episode was super funny or just kind of funny or whatever. There was just something comforting about being in this world. And I think also for people, it sounds crazier now with everything that's going on in the country, but to have like a public servant, like a Leslie Knope, you kind of want to believe there's people in government
that are like that.
Who
sure.
just want to make people's lives better and will do whatever it takes to get there.
I imagine it would be hard to make a government-based show like this now.
No,
like this or West Wing or something. You're like, I don't know if people want to watch, you know, government things, but...
Yeah, yeah. It definitely so would be... Yeah.
It's so funny. It is
Oh, yes, and the push pin in Ron's forehead. I forgot.
When you're, maybe I should save this for the next one, but like when you're writing something like that, which feels almost like a Simpsons joke or a cartoon joke.
Yeah.
Is that something that you're like, maybe we leave this in the cartoon world? Or do you know what I'm saying? Like, is it hard to figure out what jokes will work in live action versus cartoons? I guess is the general question.
No, you're still kind of thinking of like what will sound the funniest. I get in cartoons. Sometimes you're thinking a little more visually, because you have that advantage of, defying gravity and reality, like that. Oh, by the way, the switch of the pictures there. When I rewatched it, I remembered that picture, the original one with the waitress, and it didn't clear.
Oh.
And we got some sort of notice, like you can't use this.
Oh,
thing.
Wow!
So then I think we were just pitching in the room. It might have been me who said, what if it was just the food? But it was switched for some sort of legal reason.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Thank you, Mike.
That sure.
Parks and Rec.
Blorpo. That was great. It's a great show. I don't know if people should know
Hot
this,
take.
But it's a great show.
Hot take.
Sorry, I know. I'm
great show full of funny people.
Everybody's funny.
Yeah.
There's not a weak link.
No.
Maybe a C's.
It's good. It's a good
thing. Who's your favorite character on Parks and Rec?
I think Jerry.
Oh, wow. Mine's Aziz, easily.
I love Jerry.
No, I like Chris Pratt. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's Andy.
Jerry makes me laugh.
Jerry's great.
They all make me laugh, though.
And then he's married to Christie Brinkley, which is
funny.
It's so good.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the Hitchcock and Scully on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, although
they're
the Jerry, because this was first.
Thank you all for watching. Go check out our Patreon, patreon.com/commentary. We would love it if you toss a few dollars our way. You can sign up and do $1 a month. That's great. You could do $5 a month. You could do $10 a month. You could do like $30 a month if you want. That would be insane.
I got a mini poster signed by Ken Kwapis when he came to do Follow That Bird, and I'm going to give it away to one of our followers.
What do we want
to
say? Do we want to say the first person?
First person to sign up for our Patreon at the $5 tier gets a Follow That Bird mini poster. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That art on the poster is awesome. Signed by director Ken Kwapis, who also, by the way,
nice guy.
But also directed The Office pilot.
Yeah, like Larry Sanders pilot.
Yeah, he's a legend. So
a legend.
It's a good gift. And I paid for this poster.
Yeah.
It's not like he just handed him out when he got here. That'd be cool, though.
And it sounds like he's going to pay for shipping, too.
No, I'll pay for shipping.
I'll pay for shipping.
No, it's fine. So that's our gift to you.
Okay, patreon.com/commentary. And message us saying, am I the first?
Oh.
And I will respond yes, or I will respond no.
We should also, they should make it clear that's about the podcast, because I get a lot of emails saying, am I the first? And I just don't want it to get lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay, good.
That's fair.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Get that poster.
Blorpo.
Out.
Thanks for listening to Hey That's Me, a commentary podcast. This has been a That Was Just So Funny production. Your hosts have been Brian Lynch and Patrick Kottner. Music was by Alex Peabody, and our art was by Abigail Noy. You can find out more about the show by going to heythatsmepod.com and checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/commentary. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Please tell your friends about this show.